For close to 20 years, Koori artist Kelly Koumoulatsos has been exhibiting her sculptures, paintings and printmaking work. Kelly's latest exhibition, Wulreg Wurrung, Speaking Together, is a varied affair. It's possible to dissect the showing into three groups of works: photographic prints, possum skin fur prints, and political cartoon silkscreen prints. In the development of the exhibition, Kelly spent time researching Museum Victoria's photographic collection, uncovering historic images of Victoria's Aboriginal people. Images that Kelly has now used to interpret in a modern way. The varied style of this exhibition is a result of using the vast space within Bundjalaka, but also a display of Kelly's dexterity as an artist.
My name's Kelly Koumoulatsos, and I'm a Wedigaya Wamba Wamba woman. That's both those tribes come from northwest Victoria, and I'm also Greek descent. But you know, even you're born in Australia, strong Aboriginal heritage, strong women in my family. Yeah,
Kelly, I'm glad you mentioned your Greek heritage. You know, because that's one of, if not the oldest culture in Europe, and mixed with the Australian Aboriginal culture, that's acknowledged as one of the oldest too.
Yes, it's often said to me that I come from two of the ancient cultures of the world.
Yo.
Yep.
Do you aim to create works that perhaps embody both backgrounds?
I have done. I haven't recently, but I've done sculptural work embodying it. Both three cultures, actually. I tried to recognise the white side of my culture, which I didn't know my white grandfather. He died before I was born, so it was a bit hard to sort of feel strong affiliation with the white side. But I was largely raised with Greek and Aboriginal family members. Yeah. And I have done a series of, like, a visual family tree using photographic silkscreen prints on canvas and creating a family tree on the wall showing family members from the island of Samos of Greece and my Nana and her mother, my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we can go back quite a way with some of our photographs of the Wedigaya side of my family and the Wamba Wamba.
Let's talk diamonds, that design. When did they start seeping into your works?
Pretty early on, actually, very early on, and it was very much a reaction to people from down here doing dot art. And I worked in the Melbourne Museum over about 30 years ago, and I was very, very disturbed and distressed by the lack of cultural items and art from Victoria, Southeast Australia. There wasn't much around at all. So really it stems from being in contact with what remained in historical collections and just seeing there were artists practicing, but not a lot of practicing. Like, you know, 30 years on, there's been, during the 80s, there was a very big revival, cultural revival that was political, and people were making things. There were people making things, but many more people came on board. Now there's so many Victorian southeastern artists making things, but the diamonds and zigzags started seeping into my work because it was very much a reaction to dot art. And if we want to do things that we call so-called traditional or are influenced by our traditions, I started looking at what was commonly used down here, like diamonds and zigzags, herringbones, the combination of all of those, very strong in the material culture work down here.
Kelly, what do they add? What does that design add to your works?
Well, it sort of relates to visual identity, really. Like, it's sort of like your cultural identity, your visual identity. And it, as an artist, it gives you something to work with. It's just really fun and to work with it. I've made sculptures and done a bit of printmaking and painting and screen printing with them. So, yeah, it gives you something to work with that, something for me to work with that I feel really good about working with, because it's just good to make work, and then just adds a dimension of meaning to it.
With regards to Warrigwarrin, speaking together, tell us about having access to Museum Victoria's photographic collection.
Because I worked in the museum, you know, 30-odd years ago when I was in the anthropology department, I knew what photos, I had an idea of what photos would be in the collection, so I knew there was a wealth of photographic material there. So when I found out I was going to have this exhibition, I really wanted to continue with a theme that I've been working on to do with possum skin cloaks and then woolen blankets replacing the possum skin cloaks. And I actually wanted to screen print images of our elders and old people, ancestors, onto the blankets.
Yep.
So that's what I've done. And so I went in and spent some time in the where they keep the photographic collection and just went through the database and looked online at this wealth of photographic material that's all still there. And it's, it's a real journey on its own, just working with those photos of the old people.
Mm. The pieces in your exhibition, speaking together, it's incredibly varied works.
Yes, it is very varied. It's true. Well, there's old material like the coloured silk screen prints. Like they're sort of like political cartoons. Like they're older works, and I really wanted to get them up again. Mm. So I mean, they're in strong contrast to. Really, it's in about three groups of work. So there's the works using photographic images of the old people onto the blankets and onto fabric. And then there's possum skin fur prints. And then there's the political cartoons. So, yeah, they are very varied. But it was such a long wall to work with, I thought I'd give it a go. And it works really well in that space with that curvy wall. It sort of breaks it up into sections without physically breaking it up.
I find your use of blankets to be brilliant.
Well, as I was saying earlier, when I worked at the museum 30-odd years ago, one of the things that I was really, really struck by was how at that time, there were only two old cloaks in the museum, which is still the case, as in old contact time. And there were two at that time known to be in the world. So there were only four originals known to be in the world. I think they know a bit more about maybe a couple more now. But I found that a real motivation to want to reclaim and make possum skin cloaks to sort of replace what had been taken away. And so it was, once again, it was a very powerful journey to go on that journey. To go and just to make and try to make cloaks from scratch. Anyway, from making possum skin blankets, I wanted to work with the idea that the possum skin cloaks were replaced by blankets and talk a little bit about that. You know, the possum blankets being replaced by woolen blankets had a really big impact on people down here, because the possum blankets were waterproof, for example, and you know, the woolen ones, they weren't, so people weren't as protected from the weather down here. You know, they had a really important role with the, you know, protecting people just from the elements, that simple, and replacing them with the woolen ones just had a big effect on people, because they got sick because they weren't protected from the rain, for example. So, I mean, there had other implications. They were sort of, I mean, there's a lot of belief that the woolen blankets also carried smallpox, which infected Aboriginal people. So they're not the great, it's not a great side of the woolen blankets, but I think their effect on Aboriginal people was quite profound, you know, quite disturbing. Even though my images you know, the blankets with the images, they're not meant to be disturbing, but they are meant to tell you and remind you that, you know, the effects of changing people's material culture is vast and has great implications. Also on the visual identity, you know, the markings on the possums' skins would have told people where they were from and a bit about their story. And, you know, they sort of lost that with the, as well, with woolen blankets replacing the possum blankets.
You know, being top-end blackfella, I don't know too much about them and just how important they were, eh, to you mob down there.
Well, yeah, really important because that's what everybody had one, you know, every man, every woman, every child, everybody had one. And they're very important because that was the major item of clothing and protection that we had down here. Mm. So, yeah, they were very important.
How much time and work has gone into this latest exhibition, Speaking Together?
A couple of decades of thinking, really. Yeah. Some of those concepts have taken a long time, and also I did go to uni and did some printmaking, so printing with a possum fur, actually putting it through a printing press, which is very unorthodox in a Western printmaking frame of things, that sort of came up. That's a real mix of two cultures, that one, sort of printing with the fur and creating a monoprint. That's yeah, as I said, very unorthodox. So those sort of things, it's yeah, they've taken a long time to just to be with being with the fur, yeah, and just experimenting really. And it's yeah, it's you wouldn't think it would take long, but yeah, it has.
Touch on the launch that happened recently.
Oh, the launch was great. It was just a lot of fun. The family and friends, and just went really well, and the work seemed to be well received. It was a bit of a buzzy night, actually. It was, yeah, it was really good. There was at the launch, there's an image on one of the blankets, Tatambo, so-called King Charles, his descendants. There was a whole family of maybe 6-7 family members. Uncle Eric Peters, who is the great-great-grandson, and then Uncle Eric Peters' son Vincent was there, and their auntie. Yeah, there, so it was a couple of elders, and then these young ones from the same family. It was really exciting to have them at the launch because when I worked at the museum 30-odd years ago, Aboriginal people didn't really know what photos were in the collection that belonged to the family members. Yep. Yeah, so to work with, you know, these images, I got permission to use the images that I've used from the descendants. So that's just one image, and to have the family descendants present at the launch was a very, very exciting and very moving.
Touch on being able to exhibit there at Bundjalaka Aboriginal Cultural Centre.
Exhibiting at Bundjalaka is... Yeah, it's really exciting. I'm enjoying having the work up. It's such a wonderful opportunity to get the work out so that Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people get to view your work and your thoughts and your expression of your political and cultural ideas. So having it there is really exciting, and I'm getting some positive feedback and... some really nice outcomes, just apart from just having it there. I've heard that Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people are going through and looking at the... There's a series of silkscreen prints coloured. That part of the exhibition's called The Road to Hell is Paved with Good Intentions, and it largely focuses on reconciliation and Indigenous and non-Indigenous people working together. And so I'm just making some political commentary on that in these cartoons, and apparently Aboriginal people in Torres Strait Islands are going through saying, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and I know that, yeah. So that's really nice to hear that feedback, that these people are getting a buzz out of it, so that's great.
Finally, Kelly, could you briefly touch on your contribution to the First Peoples exhibition?
Yep, First Peoples. Well, it's a fantastic exhibition, and, you know, voices from down here haven't been presented to the wider community on this level ever before. It's just amazing. The stories, the photographs, the recordings, the artefacts, and all the things that people have made. I had a small contribution. I was interviewed, so there's a little theatrette where people fade into the background and come forward into your sight, line of sight. It's like a theatrette, a mini theatrette.
Yep.
And people step out and talk and fall back into the background, and people just appear and disappear and talk. And I'm in part of that, and there's some photographs. One of my favourite photographs is of 1976, a big march through Melbourne, and there's my great aunt, who's no longer with us, and my auntie, my mother, and my cousins, and we're all holding up a big sign, Black Rights. Yeah, it's goes back quite a way, and it's quite a strong and fond memory, and so great to see that up. You know, they were different days back then. Mm. Yeah.
Kelly, what's the rest of the year looking like for you?
Well, I'm doing a minor thesis through Deakin Uni, Institute of Koori Education, and I'm doing I'm looking at how are Victorian Aboriginal artists represented in major Victorian galleries. So I'm researching, going into a selection of galleries to actually have a look at who do they represent, you know, who are they collecting, exhibiting and using Aboriginal artists in education kits, just trying to see the level of profile Victorian Aboriginal artists have. This is Victoria, this is our home, this is where we come from, and so yeah. I'm just having a look at that. So, and I'm a Koori education worker. I work in across seven schools down on the Bellarine Peninsula, which is down near Geelong, and I work with 19 students. So, yeah, I've got enough on for the time being.
Is there still time for art with all that going on?
Yeah, there's some good things happening, and, I'll be making time to do that as well. So the museum shops are excited by my exhibition, and they'd like to make scarves out of the possum skin, the possum fur prints, which is scarves and some other things, which is really exciting, you
Brilliant.
Know. It's
yep.
I'd never imagined that making things that you really want to make would lead to such wonderful opportunities.
The exhibition is now showing at the Bundjalaka Aboriginal Cultural Centre at the Museum of Victoria until the 22nd of June.